Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their voice that come in so many different forms. So this space was created to talk with people with all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and have conversations about experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation, and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk to musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So sharing these stories expands one's thinking and opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. My inspiring guest for today is Megan Nolan. Megan helps purpose-driven entrepreneurs use their yoga practice. I can't see the bio, so I'm going to start over again. There we go. Okay. So Megan helps purpose-driven entrepreneurs use their, I'm going to do it again because it covered it again. Okay. So sorry. So Megan helps purpose-driven entrepreneurs use their yoga practice to clear away the clouds of self-doubt, activate more confidence, courage, and strength from the inside out. Megan, welcome to the space.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here today.
So happy that you're here. Thank you. So Megan, tell us more. I only read like a sentence, so there is so much more to you that we're going to dive into, of course. But yeah, tell us a little bit more about who you are and your journey.
Sure. Thank you. So who I am? Well, I mean, that's an interesting question. How deep are we going to go on that?
kind of broad.
I definitely am a very expressive person. I value my health. I value my learn. I love to learn. I love to continually evolve. I love to share my gifts to help my community to do the same. And so I really would say that that sort of, you know, encapsulates who I am, but also really my work that I do. I have a mission that I'm on because I believe that we all should thrive and we all deserve to thrive. And I really am very intentional about who I support with that because I support a lot of entrepreneurs. And I believe that when somebody has a mission to achieve and a goal and an outcome that they're really wanting for their life, it can be really easy to put ourselves last in the pursuit of that dream. And I believe that we should put ourselves first. So really helping people to prioritize their self-care, their own health and their happiness, and not feel guilty and not feel selfish about that. Because when we are thriving, we're able to go out and make an amazing, incredible impact on the world, whatever that expression is. And so I do that by sharing the tools of yoga and mindset and breath work and meditation and a variety of different tools to really help people live, move, and feel their best.
So that whole thing with feeling guilty, it's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like this societal thing that's kind of just there to feel guilty about all this stuff. And yeah, to actually put ourselves first and know that that's not a selfish thing. Huge.
It's huge. It's an interesting battle. And I think it's really, you know, there's so many factors that play in anything, but a lot of that has to do with our desire to help other people and serve other people and take care of the people that we love. And so it's, you know, we've all heard the analogy of putting on your own mask first, your oxygen mask, or the cup that seems to always be empty, but yet we're trying to keep pour from it, you know. And it really is one of those things that if we are thriving, then we show up differently. That's really what it comes down to, is that we can be more patient with our little ones or our partner, and we are more creative in, you know, in that inspired flow state, or we are able to, you know, not get really upset if somebody cuts us off in traffic because we're feeling good, we're feeling grounded, but yet we're so in the hustle mode of like, oh, I got to get this done, I have this, that, and the other thing that I need to do today. And yeah, I'll get to it later. I'll get to it later. And the later never really seems to, actually happen. And yeah. So it's really helping people to bring that to the forefront of their mind and just recognize that it has beautiful ripple effects into everything else. And, you know, really start to dissolve that feeling of, oh, I'm stealing time away from my family or from my job or my business if I make time for myself.
Yeah, this is going to be good. We're going to have a lot to dive into.
Okay, so
Megan, so your would you rather question for today is, would you rather have a triangle shaped house or a circle shaped house?
The first thing that came to mind was triangle, because for some reason I was like, I think it'd be easier to hang stuff on the wall.
I know, right?
Not that that's like my huge priority in my house.
I know. I think that's the immediate. Yeah. Go ahead. Continue. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Yeah, I like that one. I guess it depends on how big the triangle is, because I'm 5'1", so I hit my head on stuff if it's a low ceiling. But yeah, so okay. Let's stick with the original triangle answer.
Stick with the triangle. Yeah. I see. You know, it's funny because that's the immediate thought that I had too, was, well, you can't hang things on a circular. But it's so funny. I've noticed when we went to the beach recently, I've noticed more circle houses. There was a few circle houses that came to my attention. And I thought they were really cool looking, but I kind of wondered that, how do they hang things? But there, I'm sure there's a way.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a way. I was thinking too, maybe you tap in a little nail and then you could use a string, and maybe it's more like things are hanging away from the wall.
Exactly. Not directly. There's the distance.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And actually the shape thing, like the actual shape within the space, is kind of an interesting concept too. Because like when you brought up the idea of the triangle, like how wide is the triangle? Because obviously it'd be kind of claustrophobic if it was more narrow.
Exactly.
But if it was wider. Anyway, okay. So here we go.
Okay.
So let's dive in. So the first question is, how do you define creativity?
I would define creativity as your soul's ability to express and allowing that willingness to be curious and let it kind of flow out. And so creativity, to be able to really be present with what needs to come through you, you know, because sometimes we get in our own way as to like, oh, I should do it this way or that way. But really when we get back into touch with, you know, who we really are at the deepest essence, which is why I was kind of thrown by your initial question. But when we get back into that essence of just knowing that we are, you know, deeply connected to all life and all energy, everything is energy. And so when we get back into that connection of that knowledge and out of the mind chatter, then it allows us to be in that place of like, okay, well, what is it that I'm going to do today? How am I going to, you know, shine my light, if you will? So it's more than just actions that you're taking, but it's also how you're showing up and, you know, what words you're speaking and how you're interacting with people. So I think creativity is really how we can express our own unique energy.
Mm-hmm. I like how you, how it built on itself. Because what I heard first was your soul's ability to express, allow willingness to be curious, to be present, and then showing up, words speaking your own unique energy. So it was kind of like this nice scaffolding kind of going on.
Awesome.
You know?
Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah, I mean, really, because it starts off as like an expression, like how do you emote, like how do you do it physically, express physically, or using your voice? Mm-hmm. The curiosity that you have, which doesn't have to be words, it can be actions. It could be the look on your face that's kind of like, kind of thing that makes you want to dig that much deeper. And actually being present in the moment and not having your mind racing to, oh yeah, I got to do that and that and that, which takes you, you can't really be curious when your mind is running a mile a minute.
No, because then you're back in the habitual thought patterns, the subconscious thought patterns that, you know, are like, we have, you know, upwards of 50 to 70,000 thoughts every day. And most of them are ones you had yesterday. And those are the ones that are kind of just running in that repetitious pattern that are keeping us in that like kind of place of repeating the same thing every day, you know, like Groundhog Day. But if we can really get present, that's when we go into these wider spaces of inspiration and connectivity. And that's when we can really be in that presence and flow state and really allow it to kind of express and come through you.
So tell me a little bit. So I love what you do with yoga, which is one of your things that you do is yoga at my desk. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that, please?
For sure. Yeah. So, I mean, it's probably not going to come to surprise to yourself or any of your listeners, but we all spend way too much time sitting down. And the human body is not designed to sit. And it's probably told you that by the complaints department in the neck and shoulders, or maybe your wrists or the headaches, or maybe you're noticing your body's changing, or you just feel lethargic at the end of the day. Those are signs from your body that it doesn't like that very much. Mm-hmm. So, but I also understand that, you know, based on our modern technology, the main tool that we use now is a computer or a phone, some sort of technological device, even a car, right? But not too long ago, the main tools that we used were very active tools where we were out and, you know, we were hunting and gathering or we were farming or what have you. And so our body hasn't really adapted that much from it. And so when we sit for extended periods of time, it really can have an impact on your body. As I mentioned, the complaint department already, and those are just the ones that you can feel. But when we sit down, everything starts to slow down and your blood flow slows down. Your energy levels slow down. Your rate of breathing is one thing that goes up because we don't breathe very well when we're sitting and slouched over. So you start to take short and shallow breaths, which triggers stress. And when you're under stress, you know, whether or not your body thinks you're actually really under stress, if you're breathing like you are, your body gets the signal because that's been hardwired into millions of years ago that your body's like, uh-oh, something's wrong. I got to pay attention. There must be a saber-toothed tiger around here somewhere. She's breathing like super fast. Even though you're not necessarily that stressed out, your body starts to react like you are. And when mm-hmm. your body goes into stress, it turns on the survival mechanism so that you can run away from the situation or you can handle it or you curl up into a ball and just freeze. When that happens, your brain shuts down the higher brain functions that are associated with creativity, decision-making, imagination, presence, all those things that we've been speaking to. So when you're under stress, all of that turns off because your body's like, no, we can't create like orchestras right now or masterpieces right now. We need to get out of this situation. So the more we can give people tools to be able to mitigate stress, lower your stress levels down just consistently throughout the day, then you're more calm, you're more present, you're more grounded, you're more centered. All the good things start to happen. And so, you know, from a performance perspective, that's really quite beneficial. And also from a long-term health perspective, lowering your stress, even just by taking 3 deep breaths, is beneficial. Sometimes people tell me, oh, I don't have an hour to do yoga. Okay, perfect. So yoga at my desk is 10 minutes. Do you have 10 minutes? Because it's a 10-minute session that will help you to recalibrate your body, lower your stress levels down, bring your body out of that ouchy, slouchy posture into strong, confident, you know, charismatic posture, because we all can tell the difference between somebody who's feeling really sad and tired or somebody who's like, game on, let's do it. You can see it in their body, right? You can tell it in their energy. And so yoga at my desk is a collection of 10-minute sessions that people can really incorporate into their day to re-energize their body, re-energize their mind, their brain, and really help them feel alert and ready to focus on the rest of the day.
I love, thank you for that. And I love how you said ouchy, slouchy posture. Mm-hmm. It's such a good description.
Right, because it hurts, right? It just hurts.
It does. It physically hurts, and you can, when you see somebody walking like that, or sitting like that, not necessarily walking, they're sitting. I mean, it's a whole, that's how you're showing up. It's, you don't, no words need to be said. It's kind of like you're looking and you're just kind of like, you're shut down. You're not open. You're not looking like you're in a good mood. You don't want to be bothered. It just doesn't have good feelings coming off of it. Whereas when the 100%. Shoulders are back and open, you're completely more open to receiving, and there's a confidence with that.
Exactly. And the fascinating thing about the body, so as you spoke to there, and you know, very likely familiar with, is that we communicate so much through our body language. People took one look at you and they make snap judgments. They may not mean to or not, but your brain is doing that to be efficient. It's like, oh no, what's the matter with Holly? She looks really sad today. And you're like, no, I feel great. I'm just really focused right now. But like, you're communicating a lot with your body language, not only to other people, but to yourself. So here's the thing, mind-body connection is constant. And so when you are in a slouched position, as I spoke to already with the stress, your body's like, oh, well, she's breathing like she's super stressed out. What's the matter? She's holding herself like she's exhausted and she's tired or sad or worried. It sends signals up to your brain. And so it's called embodied psychology. And so they've looked at like the relationship between posture, energy, mood, happiness. And so thankfully it goes the other way, is that if you change your posture, your body sends signals of alertness, appreciation, gratitude, because like you said, it opens back up through the heart space. And so it's quite interesting because we start to look at like when people are presenting with that ouchy, slouchy posture, a weak posture, it's starting to become a potential cause of sadness and depression, or vice versa. And so it's really important for us to just consider that the way you hold your body will not only affect how you feel now, but potentially how you sleep tonight and how you feel tomorrow. And so it has a real immediate but also long-term effect.
As you're talking, I'm forcing myself to sit up straighter.
I tend to have that effect on people.
You do. You do. I'm like, Holly, sit up straight. Listeners, are you doing this?
Yes, everybody.
Wherever you are. But it's so important what you're saying too, is that it's this whole mind-body connection. We think, oh, God. You know, Megan, what's a big deal? Or house, what's a big deal? You know, or so, you know, I'm slouched a little bit. Well, you're doing that constantly. And all those things that you just said, one thing, it's this domino effect that affects your mood. It affects how you sleep. It affects how you show up. It's just everything. Yeah. And it's 10 minutes, you're saying. It's just like 10. Everybody has 10 minutes. Nobody's that busy.
Well, you'd be surprised. I've had to like, now I'm getting down to the point where I'm like, okay, I'll create 1 minute sessions just so you can like, for real, come on. Like, you have a minute, please. Like, come on, tell me that you're that important to yourself that you can give yourself a minute. And that's like interesting to me, you know, as somebody who's always been a lover of movement, I'm like, my day cannot start without doing something for my body because I feel so much better. But people, I think, get into this, like, oh, this is my day. I have my coffee. I go to work. I do this, da, 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 da. And so accustomed to the chronic nagging pain that they're like, it's fine, I just deal with it. But if we have a glimpse of like, oh, wow, okay, after a minute of doing these funny movements that Megan wants me to do, I actually feel better. I do feel a little bit more energized. Okay, it's when people can start to create that relationship between, oh, I did this little yoga break and I feel better, and you acknowledge that you feel better, then your brain is more likely to say tomorrow, like, hey, how about we do another one of those yoga breaks, even if it's just a minute, because it starts to form that association. It's you're getting yourself in the good habit. We have all sorts of habits, but this is a good habit you could create.
I was just going to say, it's kind of like, it's such a paradigm thing, isn't it? Like, yeah. We get stuck in this way of being. And even though, like you said, people are uncomfortable, they're in pain, they're like, I just deal with it. It's just part of who I am. So it's like, well, you can do something about it. Like, this is something that is manageable, you know, depending on obviously on what it is, but it doesn't hurt either way to give your body this kind of break to be able to do that. And I've been talking about this a lot with people lately, is that when we get stuck in the idea of, well, it's just fine, it just is what it is, that saying it is what it is, but what if it could be better? It's like this fear of something being better and it going away. So it's like, well, if it could potentially go away, then why should I even have it in the first place? I'll just stay where I am.
Yeah. Yeah. We're very interesting creatures, aren't we?
The logic is kind of like, really?
Is that, that's skewed.
That's what you came up with?
I know. So you're going to not do it in case you're not able to not do it again? Like, can you just walk me through that one more time? Because that does not make any sense to me.
Yeah. It's so illogical, but people will be like, yeah, I totally get you. Yeah, I understand. Oh, yeah. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So tell me about yoga in general. Like, is it something that you've always done? And you said movement. You've always been a person who's enjoyed movement. So tell us a little bit about, you know, stuff from being a kid, teenager, whatever. Like, were you into sports? Were you into dance? Were you like, where did this, or is this something that started a little bit later?
No, my parents tried to bring me into sports and we realized pretty quickly that I do not like ball sports. I really just don't like when things are like flying at me. Surprisingly, I'm really trying to reframe this. I'm working on becoming more coordinated. I used to say it differently, but so yeah, I started as a little one in dance and I liked that. I liked the fluidity of dance and I suppose, you know, the expressiveness of it. And so I did a variety of styles of dancing and always loved, you know, the challenge of cardio and just, I like to run. I don't run anymore. I had a knee thing a few years ago, so I don't run anymore, but, it really did start young for me. And then I guess the evolution of it was in university. I was at a gym I always loved exercising and working out. So I was doing all the classes at the gym and there was a one class that was like a fusion class, you know, that was Pilates and Tai Chi and yoga. And so a friend of mine whose mom was a yoga teacher, I didn't know that until after I brought her to the class and she was like, I don't know what that was, but that was not yoga. You should come to a yoga class. I was like, okay. And then, so I went to yoga and it was at first, you know, like many people, like, whoa, what is this? Why are they breathing like that? What is going on? And so, you know, just I became really curious about it because it challenged me in a whole variety of different ways. And I mean, I will admit I came for the yoga booty, but I stayed for the calm for sure. But like, it really challenged me first on the physical level. And then yoga is one of those things. It's like, you know, once you start to look at it, you realize that it has this never ending depth of possibility. And it's a constant evolution, just like we all are. Right. And so maybe that's the creativity that comes from yoga, is that it's limitless as far as what you can learn and become and do, you know, once you really learn what you're actually doing. And a lot of times, and this is what I am really helping people to begin to see, is that, you know, and admittedly for me, what I just said, like when we come to yoga thinking like, oh, it's about what I can accomplish with my body and it's what I'm doing for my body or what I'm trying to achieve. You know, maybe I'm trying to look like Cirque du Soleil or like a pretzel or something. And really what the real depth of yoga and the real magic of it is actually what you're becoming and what you're unbecoming. And truly it's less about what you're actually doing and more about who you're being and what you're really practicing being. And so it's been an incredible journey for sure. And admittedly, sometimes yoga looked like, you know, trying fun poses and getting stronger. And sometimes it looked like laying down on the mat and crying and just being present with that. And so it has a range of tools that are really applicable based on where you're at. And so it's a very adaptable tool set, which is incredible.
I really appreciate what you're saying about the physicality of it and then the emotional, mental aspect of it. And would you say that, so when you say laying on the mat and bringing them, like crying and having the depth of many possibilities, like, why do you think that this modality provides that? Because here I titled this, How Yoga Strengthens You from the Inside Out. Why do you think it's such a, is it because we have to be so present with ourselves, be able to hold the poses, be able to challenge ourselves?
It doesn't even require that of you. By you doing it, because it's a multi-layered practice, because you're a multi-layered being, you may think, you know, challenging yourself, pushing yourself, and you're holding this crazy position. What you're doing is, yes, you're getting stronger for sure on the physical level. On the mental level, if you're challenging yourself to stay with it and breathe, as long as you're not feeling any pain, that's important. Like, you're not pushing yourself and holding a position that's physically painful for you. Challenging is different than pain, right? Like, if you're feeling it in a joint, then we want to stop. But if you're like, wow, this is incredible, this is like, my muscles are shaking, but I feel really amazing, you know, and so that's challenging you on the mental level as well. But while you're doing all of that, what's really happening is that you're breathing and you're moving your breath through your body, and your breath carries with it a life force energy. So whether you want to call that, in yoga we call it prana, or chi, or vitality, so there's many different names, you know. And so it's moving through your body, and your body is a storehouse of everything that you've been through. And so whether you've processed it on a mental level or on an emotional level, it's still lingering in your cells to some degree. And so sometimes when you're opening up tissues, you'll have like strange, you know, opening tissues, I mean, like you're stretching your muscles, you'll have strange memories, or you'll start to get this like emotional feeling come over you. It's not uncommon for people to have emotional experiences in yoga. Like I've like been in deep poses, especially when your hips are kind of considered like the storehouse of emotion in your body, kind of equated to like your junk drawer, if you will. It's like when you get in there and you start opening, you're like, oh, I didn't know that was still in there. Oops, I don't know why that, I didn't throw that out 10 years ago. You know, and so your body is storing all of that until you allow it to be moved through you and processed. And so, you know, you can do that consciously or unconsciously. Or what I was speaking to was when I was in a really difficult, challenging period of my life and I was exhausted and I literally had nothing else but to just lay there and just be, you know. And so it's a range of possibility for sure.
Yeah, thank you for that explanation. And yeah, I was talking to somebody recently who I'd never heard it said this way, where she said that in practicing yoga, she does different kinds depending on her different spaces and where she is. So it could be yoga for, or yin for however long. It could be flow for however long. So she really just bases kind of, it's almost like time periods of her life. She's kind of narrowed it down to.
Yeah, and that's brilliant. And that's really being present with yourself, like what your body's needing, and not just saying, oh, okay, well, this is the sequence that I've been told to do and I'm going to do it because I have to do it, which is, there's some practices of yoga that's the style that they follow and that's beautiful, but there's so many different ways that you can practice, or different styles, like you said, that you can, based on your energy level or if you're having tension in a certain area, there's lots of ways that you can customize it to make it work for how you're feeling each day.
And this actually goes to the question, and thank you to the listeners here live. We appreciate you. And you can type in any questions or comments and we will see them. And one question is here where, and I don't know if you can see it, Megan, it says, hi, I'm new to yoga. What resources would you recommend to start?
Yeah, that's a great question, Saul. It depends on you, ultimately. Like, it depends on if you're just kind of wanting to take a little step into it and figure, you know, try a little bit of experience with it. And so as I was speaking to Hollis mentioned, so my website is yoga@mydesk.yoga. And so on there, you'll be able to access a couple free resources from me. So that's a good way to kind of check that out. Of course, on YouTube, there's loads of different beginners yoga. I would definitely start. So the thing is a lot of times people jump right in, and it's like, I equate it to like, would you jump right into a hot tub? Right. Or do you move in slowly? You know, so like, definitely start with some beginner stuff. I know there's a woman, Yoga with Adrienne, she's got loads of beginner stuff as well. And so really just starting with the curiosity, and that's with so many different disciplines and definitely within a lot of creative expressions, is we start with a beginner's mind, right? And not expecting that you're going to be Picasso on your first day out of the gates, or you're not going to be like, you know, really be able to do crazy poses right out of the gates. So just starting slowly and just being aware, and really that's the essence of yoga, is just being aware of yourself and your body and your breath in each pose.
Yeah, very good advice. So before we move on to the second question, I just kind of want to ask you about, I know that you help entrepreneurs a lot with mindset and using yoga to help them become, you know, leaders within their business and open them up. And if you could kind of talk to, is this like a one-on-one kind of setting that you're doing it on? Because I know that like how you defined creativity with expression, curiosity, and being present. This is all the things that you need to be as an entrepreneur. But if you could kind of speak to that, I'd be curious to hear what you have to say.
Should I speak to how I support people?
Yeah, like entrepreneurs specifically.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, I do work with people one-on-one. I do have a variety of group transformation coaching experiences as well as some self-study stuff that people can do on their own. But speaking to the method specifically, it's three steps. So it's called the elevation method. And this works for anybody, whether or not you're an entrepreneur. It's the first step is to envision. So what is your big vision for yourself, for your business, for your year, for your family, whatever it is? And what sort of effects would that have for you? What does that look like? What does it feel like? Who would be around you? And so really getting into that imagination, ultimately, of what you want that to be like, because your brain is amazing, but it can't tell the difference between something that's right in front of you and something you're imagining in vivid detail. So what you do there is envision that desired outcome for yourself. And so you begin to gather some information of like, oh, okay, well, look at me in that state. Like, how do I stand? What do I need to, you know, feel to be able to achieve this? Who am I being to get here? Like, am I being consistent or am I being lazy? Am I being kind to myself or vice versa or opposite to that, you know? So really getting as much information from that quote unquote future self, you know, that like higher self version of you that kind of knows what you need to do to get where you want to go. So that's the first step, connecting to that big vision and really getting that information. Okay, well, how do I need to show up today? Who do I need to be? What do I need to believe about myself? What do I need to let go of? And this is a lot of the foundation of mindset work. And it's really, you know, it might sound woo-woo out there, but this is actually validated by a lot of research in neuroscience that you can start to use these tools. So you get that information from yourself. And then the second step is to begin to embody that version of you now. So you begin to practice that new way of being now. And so we use yoga to do that. So when we practice yoga, yes, you're getting strong. Yes, you're getting flexible. Yes, you might see tone in your muscles and you might feel more happy and you sleep better. What is amazing, beautiful, long list of benefits of yoga. But you can also use it to practice different ways of being. So is that future self you? Is she really grounded? How can you practice being grounded on the mat? Well, that's, you know, the essence of creating a strong base in every pose is being grounded. So begin to embody that version of yourself now. And then the third step is express. And so how can you live as that you now? How can you embody that version of you that walks tall with confidence, that feels clear-headed, that is patient, whatever it is on the list of things that you want to begin to express, and begin to intentionally live as that person. So take the second, you know, and that's where the yoga practice comes in. Sometimes people tell me, I don't have time. Okay, let's do it in a minute. Or if you have an hour, let's do it in an hour. So then intentionally do that so that you can express that version of you in your life and you begin to move from that place of possibility and potential rather than just recreating the same struggle story from yesterday that you're like annoyed and frustrated about. Let's create from that end result. So Stephen Covey said to begin with the end in mind, and that's really what you're doing there through that process.
Yeah, so powerful. I mean, it's envision, embody, express. Yes. And that envision space, so key to really get people to actually tune in and get beyond the surface, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because, you know, and I forget the quote, bummer that I didn't remember it for now, because it has to do with creativity. And so it's like, we can either use our mind to create our ideal scenarios, or we can use it to create problematic situations. Like we're using that creative potential for your brain. One of which ways? You get to choose.
Yeah, we do get to choose. It's when people are like, oh, it's out of my control. I mean, we really do. Certain things are, but how we respond and how we react are things that we have control over, which affect outcomes.
100%. And the choice is there. And then what you spoke to there is really quite powerful. And one of the things that really yoga helps us to do is to find the presence, find that stillness where you get to choose whether you're going to respond or react. Yeah. When you can become present, when there's a gap between something that happens to you and your either your knee-jerk reaction or your very intentional response to it. So it's finding that pause, practicing the pause is what we do in yoga, just to become aware of how you might want to like, no, you shouldn't have done that to me, or I wonder why that just happened, you know? So that's, it's very, very opportunistic when you get to choose the way you're going to handle it, right? So that it's really making that more aligned, intentional decision.
Yeah. I love this. We're being asked questions. So wonderful. Thank you, audience. So I am pregnant with my third baby. It's been 13 years. I know meditation and have done yoga in the past. Any keys to remember or to help when I'm ready to pop? Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, congratulations. I just have one question about that. Any keys to remember? What are you hoping to remember? But when you're ready to pop, I know there's a variety of different breathing techniques that they use specifically for when people are in labor. But I know one thing that, and I'm not well versed in prenatal yoga, and so I apologize, but I do know based on my studies of anatomy that when we are working on core activation in yoga, there tends to be like a lot of restricting and tightening and lifting and engaging and Kegels and all of that, is that we want to also learn how to relax. And so when you can learn how to relax your body and relax specifically the muscles in your abdomen and in your pelvis, which would allow the baby to come out, you know, with more ease. So maybe working on that ahead of time is just allowing that sort of relaxing into the belly, sending your breath, your loving energy, your maternal, you know, joy and excitement, sending it into that area and just allowing that sense of release and ease and space. And so just even, you know, setting that intention for yourself.
It's when you have a child, and this person knows because she's on her third.
Yeah.
And having two, it's, and I kind of wish I had more training through the process with yoga, but when it's coming down to it, it's like, oh my God, this hurts.
Yeah.
And it's kind of staying in that moment of, you know, not trying to freak out. Because the body, it will come out whichever way, whether it's natural or through C-section. So the baby will make its way out. So this person said, I'm nervous of back labor this time because I had fractured my sacrum since the last one.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and I'm apologize. This is definitely not my area of expertise to be able to give you more more guided response. But yeah, I think it would, yes, the breathing and getting in the zone helped last time. Okay, perfect. Well, yeah. That's, I'm just going to take default back to that one because I don't want to give you any misadvice, to be honest. And so I would say that if that was helping you, then I would look into some breathing techniques that you did last time or some other ones, or maybe talk to your doula, your midwife or your doctor and really start to begin to practice that state of presence now. And as much as you can train yourself to go back to your breath, because your breath is your most powerful tool to calm your nervous system. And the more calm your nervous system is in that moment, the more your body will relax. And then, you know, hopefully the whole process will be easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Good advice. So thank you for your questions. So let's move on to the second question, which is we spoke to a little bit, but to dive a little deeper, how do you incorporate more creativity into your own life?
I would say to begin to really kind of challenge myself. Well, actually, let me step back. I think that my creativity is inspired when I'm learning. So I encourage creativity by learning new things, new poses, new techniques, new components of, you know, whether practice or business strategy or mindset that, you know, really lend to the work that I do, because then that allows me to be creative with it and begin to not only weave it into what I do, but also first and foremost into my own practice, because I really I believe that it's important that we come from and share from a place of knowing within ourselves. So, you know, that inspires me. And then being able to kind of really know it in my body and bring it to life, and then be able to kind of be playful with it and be willing to be curious and to, you know, have it not be as smooth as I would like the first time, and then learn from it and then continue to refine it.
Yeah, I like that part of being playful and curious again, but smooth it out and being open to mistakes. I can speak to, I mean, that can be spoken to on any level, but I think it's just always really important to point that out. Being an art teacher for 30 years and working in so many different settings, from homeless shelters to the public school system, and all through that time, seeing, working with kids and adults, you know, that fear of the mistake, you know, which keeps people so often from doing it, especially with this whole societal, which is why I formed my company to, you know, breaking this whole societal definition of how creativity is seen, which is why we're having the conversation, going beyond a pencil and a paintbrush. But within an art setting, it's like people will so often be like, well, I'm not a painter, I'm not a drawer, I'm not a sculptor. Instead of just being playful and having fun with it and seeing what you learn along the way through it. Because there are lots of surprises that happen along the way, be it I was better at that than I thought, or, oh, I discovered this really cool thing. I didn't know that when you mixed red and purple and more red and white that it made a lighter shade of violet, you know. Just even little things like that. And it becomes a smile as opposed to, you know, I'm just going to avoid doing that because I'm not good at that.
Yeah, and I think maybe it was your first question, but I think to the point of when we find something that really lights us up and allows us to feel, tap into that sort of like childlike joy that we all have within us. You don't need to be a child to feel that, but we equate it to that because as adults, we put so much other stuff on top of it, it can hard to feel light. But when we have that feeling of childlike joy and playfulness, that might be something to really explore and dive into more, you know, because it's really, it's like literally lighting you up. And so I used to think, you know, like, because I was working with a lot of creatives and tattoo artists and stuff like that, just in my friend zone and my social circle. And I was like, oh man, I'm just not as creative as these guys. Like, I just don't have that sort of like gene or whatever it is, you know. And then I started to really see myself when I was teaching my classes and talking about yoga or talking to clients or what have you, and see the way that I was like, oh, this, you know, and like getting all like excited and animated, and then being that my outlet for creative expression. So it's kind of just being willing to try, you know, and not, and it's like we think we have these, everything has a filter on it in our life, and all we see is people's highlight reel. And well, we didn't see it many times that they like messed it up, and they looked funny, or they had blueberries in their teeth when we took the photo or whatever. You know, it's like we forget that there's a refinement to everything.
I love that. And this is, yeah, it's so important. And if, I mean, and what you get, take away from, you know, this conversation is explore the playfulness, mess up, go through it, and just be in it, because it really does bring joy. It just, it exactly what you're saying, that it lights people up when people are passionate about something and they feel successful at something. They hold their body straighter.
Yeah.
They're more open. Their voice is like at a more confident, stronger pitch. They connect and interact with people better, differently. They're more connected with themselves because they're more connected with things that they feel that they're good at. I mean, it's nothing but good things, but we all mess up, and it's just part of the process.
Yeah, it is. It is, you know, and just, and being aware of the label and the meaning we put on it, because a lot of the times, you know, we just like, oh, I screwed that one up really bad, or, you know, it should have gone like this. And then we start spinning these stories, and then we start to make ourselves feel bad about it. And like, you know, as entrepreneurs or people in general, like there's going to be times when it doesn't go as planned, and it goes back to how do we respond to it? How are we going to learn from it? How are we going to go forward? And so are you going to let your brain go back and just ruminate over it constantly and like get more and more upset, which I'm saying like I'm, you know, that was my jam for way too long. And so I would just go back and ruminate and like, oh man, but what you can do instead is just allow yourself. And this is where neuroscience come back in. Like, you can allow yourself to, if there is a quote unquote mistake or something that didn't go your way, actually the most productive way for you to move forward from it is to go back and say, okay, so that happened. What would I like to do instead? How do I wish it would have gone? Or like picture the painting or whatever it is, or the song. How does that, what is the best possible outcome? And what that's doing is actually starting to create new pathways in your brain towards that higher level of understanding, towards creativity, towards imagination. And so it's more likely in the future that you'll make a different decision, or you'll adapt and you'll actually become more willing to just kind of ride it out and like go with the flow of it, rather than being like, oh man, that sucked, I'm never going to do it again.
Mm-hmm. Which is really important to recognize. And I think it's always important to recognize and express it, and important how you said to, okay, so acknowledge it. And what would I have done differently? If you even want to revisit it, or if you just want to let it go and just like, let it go.
Some people are better at letting it go than others. So that's why I'm suggesting that that might be a good tool.
Which it really is. Cause I think when people act like something didn't happen, that doesn't help anything, cause it just gets like pushed down and then.
Right. And back to the junk drawer, right? It gets shoved back down.
Shoved into the hips.
Yeah, exactly.
Push them in those hips where you're like, ah, why does that hurt so much?
Right. It's all connected.
So tell me about some other things that creatively, you know, that you're interested in. Music, food, travel, whatever else pops into your head. Anything else?
Yeah, I mean, definitely travel when that's, you know, on the horizon. I love going and exploring other places and their food. And I like sort of different cultural nuances, you know, the way people just slightly different in area to area. And I love like witnessing that. And actually something that I've always been curious to is the underlying commonalities, like the threads of, you know, oh, this is interesting. They're doing this, but they're doing it in a different color than we do it, you know, but we do the same thing, but just in a different color, you know what I mean? And so like looking at how that really brings us all together, and looking at that, like what we all love food and celebration and connection with loved ones. And so those are definitely things that I love. And when you go to these other places, or even in your own place, if you're willing to look with a curiosity in your eyes, is like we start to see the beauty and see the art and see the opportunity to kind of really just be present. But yeah, so food I love, travel I love, art for sure, music, yes, 100%. I'm really trying to read more, but my thing is that I read typically at the end of the day, and then I'm like a paragraph in, and then I wake up 3 hours later and the book is all smashed up. So I'm trying to integrate it more into my awake time, but then it's hard for me to justify, because I'm like, well, I'm taking away from productivity time, but yeah, so it's a process.
But you know what we learned? If we like, there's just different things that we're into. I honestly had not been, I was never really a reader. My brain would be jumping from thing to thing, which could be something if I wanted to, I could work on. But I'm better at audio. If I'm listening to an audiobook, then that sinks in much better for me. While I'm doing things, I just process it better. I think I have tracking issues, and there's visual eye tracking issues with when you have kids and issues come up for them and you get them tested. You're like, oh my God, I had that.
I wonder where they got this from.
It's like being a hypochondriac. You're like, oh my God, I have that too. But our son had this thing with like reading, and he would skip all these words. And I finally took him to this person that I was supposed to take him to a while ago, and I extended it. And the person was like, how he's actually managed to read is amazing, because he reads vertically. He doesn't read horizontally. So it's like literally eye tracking, and I'm like, oh my God, I do that too. He put on glasses and he put them on and talk about making you feel bad. He's in fifth grade. He put them on and he goes, oh wow, that's what it looks like. I'm like, oh my gosh, babe, I'm so sorry.
Well, he's got them now. That's all that matters.
Which he refused it. But anyway, but that kind of reflects back to the whole thing of you don't know what you don't know. Because if you're always in it, if it's part of who you are and you don't see otherwise, then it just is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So anyway, okay. So we are getting to the top of the hour. And the third question, which is like we put it in a box and put a little bow on it. We've mentioned this, but how would you wrap it up to say, why is creativity important?
I was listening to something from Wayne Dyer last night, and I know I've heard it from other people, but he was speaking to this and he said, don't die with the music in you. And I was really, that really like, and even now when I said that, I got goosebumps. And so it's, I think to go back to full circle to the beginning, it's like, there's ways that you are meant to be here and express yourself and shine and like be this unique expression of divinity, God, universe, source, whatever the word is you like to put there. But like, it's almost our responsibility, you know? And it's like, it really, if you're going to have a full life and be able to really shine as brightly as you're meant to and as brightly as you want to, then it really is part of that. And so, you know, nobody likes regrets. So we don't want to get to the end of our journey and be like, damn, I really wish I had learned how to do that, or I should have done this. And it's like, why not just go for it? And why not just try? And, you know, yeah, you might make mistakes, but it's really part of the process.
Yeah. So that is such a great way to wrap it up, because yeah, that whole should-haves, that just sucks.
It does. Yeah. What if somebody says, like, don't should all over yourself?
There we go. I love that.
Yeah. It's done. You get to decide what happens from now, right? And it's speaking back to that point of when we go back and ruminate and over stuff, we get to decide. You get to decide from this moment forward. How are you going to do it? What are you going to do? You know, and it's like, let's figure out a way for you to express yourself. And like you said, it doesn't have to be a paintbrush or a pen or even, you know, a keyboard. It can be whatever it is for you. And so it's just find a way to like find that inner sparkle and tune it up a little bit.
It's, I just tripped over my words. I'm like, okay, well, how am I going to say this? So a person that I reference a lot in the podcasts a lot is she always took art classes, all this kind of stuff, because she felt like she had to reach out of herself and do this, you know, societal exploration of what creativity is, which what it's seen as. And anyway, long story short, in the end, she's this incredible second grade teacher. Like, she is so amazing with kids. And she reinforces their imagination consistently. For math, the kids weren't getting subtraction. And before all this times, she took them out to the slide and had them verbally say, take it away, take it away. So when they went down the slide, they could kinesthetically feel it. Mm. And then they went back in and did the math problems and understood it because they felt it. So she's that kind of a teacher.
Yeah.
So long story long, what she realized is that her creative expression is her teaching.
Exactly.
And when she realized that, it was like a weight was lifted off of her, because she felt like she was always searching for something within these other modalities. But meanwhile, it's what her voice is. It's what her expression is. It's where her curiosity lies the most, is within that space. And it's a game changer.
It is. And that was a very similar realization I had to me, you know, when I started to like see that. And then I was like, well, this is, you know, I don't know if I'm doing it right, because it's really easy and fun for me. You know, and then I'm like, can we talk about that for a second? But I love that she found that, and she's giving her children like an experience, because we all learn in different ways. We all express in different ways. And so sometimes, you know, that's what helps it land for people. And it's just, yeah, so beautiful. So I love that she did that.
But that's so important to say. This is like the best note to end on is, well, that was too easy. Like, like, and other people are thinking, well, that doesn't come to me easily, but it comes to you easily because it's your voice. It's your superpower.
Right. Your gift. Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. So Megan, can you please tell people how they can connect with you?
For sure. So my website is yoga@mydesk.yoga. And so there's lots of great stuff on there. We can connect. If you want to send me an email, you can do that. So I do a lot of workplace wellness stuff for businesses here on Maui, but also internationally over the magic of the internet. And then I am on Instagram as I am Megan Nolan. And I share lots of little tidbits and things that how you can learn to really incorporate yoga into your day beyond, you know, doing all sorts of crazy stretches so that you can really, really get the benefits of it in a very practical way. So yeah, I'd love to chat and connect.
Yeah, beautiful. And actually, I saw this on one of your Instagram sites, Whales and Rainbows. Do you love whales and rainbows?
Yeah, that's my side business. It's called Whales Make Me Happy. So in Maui, we get whales in the wintertime. We get large pods of humpback whales. And so whales are something that really like light me up. And I turn into a screaming 5-year-old child. And the joke was that like whales make me lose my... So I decided to say whales make me happy instead. And so turns out whales make a lot of people really happy. And so it's a little side business of stickers and magnets. And then also here we get a lot of rainbows. So rainbows make me happy too. And colors make everybody happy. So yeah.
Well, I mean, how does it not? It's kind of like whales, rainbows, dolphins. I mean, can anybody be cranky when they see that?
You'd be like surprised.
Just another really?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, you know, like we go on whale watches and stuff and I'm like, wow, look at that. You know, and people are just like, what is wrong with you? Like, what's wrong with you? It's a thing the size of a bus that's jumping out of an ocean. Like, come on.
Exactly.
Wrap your head around that for a second.
I don't understand. I don't know. But that's for another time. But
yeah.
Megan, thank you so much for taking this hour to chat. Really appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome, Hollis. It's been so fun. And thank you again for having me. And it's just such a joy.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you. And listeners, thank you so much for joining us live and people catching the replay. This space is all about inspiring, sharing stories, and connecting. So please like, follow, and share so we can spread this goodness and inspiration because we've always needed it, but we especially need it in these times. We need more connection. We need more uplift. And this is what we do for each other. So I wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world, and we'll be talking soon. So goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com. I am Creative Philly, PHILLY.com. And check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shway, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express Yourself Publishing, there's so many multi-author book opportunities. So I would love to chat with you so much. Everybody's creative. Everybody has a voice, everybody has an expression, and I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for taking this hour to listen to our stories and share the energy, and I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. Bye, everybody.